Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Did Arizona get any of that atmospheric river that pasted California?
Getting a little of it now. It's raining outside and not, you know, super flooding, but I know the North Country up in Flagstaff had almost 2 feet of snow or something close to that. So a lot of moisture in the air, but not a real heavy deluge here, as, you know, I've seen on occasion on some rare monsoon or other weather. So we're supposed to... It's definitely damp out there. I got to get the dogs in and out really quick.
Whereas in British Columbia, we had one brief cold snap. We had a lack of snow before Christmas for the ski resorts, and there's a lack of snow now. Good mud boarding, as I say.
Okay, that's great.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners this week?
Yeah, as I mentioned last week, it's the time of year where we launch our annual forecast. I call it the VR Forecaster. If you go to the website, VRTrader.com, you'll see that in the middle of the page. And that's our annual forecast report. And it covers all different markets besides the S&P and the Dow, gold, silver, Bitcoin, crude oil, lithium, T-bonds, and so forth. So no indicator is perfect, but we've been publishing the report since 1987, which seems like yesterday. We were sort of joking about the 1990s off the air, but been doing it since then. And, you know, some years it just has some bullseye calls, and it's really worth tracking. It's based on cyclical indicators. And last year, if you go to the website, you'll see we could send it to you. It's in our letter, the results from last year's forecast and catching some of the swings that the market provided us during the year. So it's just one tool published, the report's published once a year, and we offer 50% off on that for our House Street podcast listeners. And the promo code would be 2022 half off, 2022 HALF OOFF. And again, go to VRTrader.com. On the homepage, you'll see the VR Forecaster and click on it. And it's something you should take a look at. Thank you.
Are you a financial advisor?
I am not. I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. We provide the educational VR trader newsletters and have since, you know, how far should we go back, Jim? I think we launched it in 1979.
In other words, you can give people some guidance, but it's up to them how to use it.
Correct. That's what we do. We talk about the markets. We put up ideas, stocks and indexes, that what we think is happening and where they're going, and that's our report. That's what we offer.
The stock markets again tickling record highs. Any good deals there, or is it just too expensive to really get involved in it right now?
Well, I'm a trader, you know, and I, you know, pretty straightforward. I mean, we're not in everything. We find, you know, as the expression goes, there's a bull market somewhere, and though we talk about all the markets and we have discussions about all the various stock groups and into a lot of individual names, you know, I'm not really long the market all the time. I mean, I'm like we mentioned a moment ago, I'm not an advisor. I'm not managing a portfolio. If I was, I suppose you would, you know, always have your foot in the market on a big picture basis and hedge it along the way. We're just looking for trades. So, for example, the last couple of weeks, we've had a position in Disney, and everybody was sort of poo-pooing, you know, why are you in that stock? It's not going anywhere, and it exploded here in the last couple of days, about 20, 25 points, and, you know, had a big, big move, and we advised if you're in it, good time to ring the register on that one. Another one, Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM. Of course, they have the big new facility they're building here in Phoenix, a multi-billion-dollar facility, which is supposed to be operation, I think, by 2025. And for obvious reasons, you know, Taiwan wants to be producing semiconductors outside of Taiwan, if possible. But they chose Phoenix, of all places. And I think they're going to be building in another location around the country. So that was another, you know, winner for us. And just, you know, a couple names off the top of my head this week. Another one this morning, of all names, Hershey, HSY, the chocolate manufacturer, ran up big this morning, even though they came out with some negative earnings report. Apparently, the street overlooked it and it popped up, and we sent out a bulletin saying, well, if you're in that one, you might want to take a profit in that too. And that was also on our list. So there's always something going on, but I have to say I'm not long NVIDIA, which is the stock that never seems to come down and is over $700 a share. And, you know, this thing was, remember I was at Consumer Electronics Show a few years ago. It's probably more than a couple of years. It might be 6-7 years back, and it was a $100 stock. And I was thinking, gee, this is an interesting company. And now it's got the 707 today. So I guess if you held it for 6, 7, 8 years, you know, you made a pretty good good return, but though we've had traded it over the years, you know, this is not one I wish, I guess, I had the courage to sit and hold, but that's just not my temperament. I came from a floor trading background. As I probably mentioned in a previous interview, you know, the fellows that I worked with or trained with at the time, this is going back many decades, they never took positions home overnight. Their whole view was that the market, the trading floor, was a place just to make a living, get your money pulled out every day, go up to the stairs to the clearing office, get your check for the money you made that day, go home flat, no positions, and come in every day with a new attitude. So I'm sort of biased to that. This is sort of a job. If I can make money every day, take it off the table, come back, look for another opportunity the next day. You have to obviously focus on this. This is something we enjoy doing. This has not worked for me. Otherwise, I guess I'd be sitting in Las Vegas at the poker tables all day or at the horse track or doing something else that gives you some type of excitement, similar excitement. But I just enjoy the, of course, this is more analytical. I'm looking at charts. I'm looking at support resistance levels. I'm looking at, you know, the patterns that tell me, you know, hopefully what the stock or index is going to do. Another winner or two for us the last couple of days, too, is Bitcoin upticking again. The GBTC, the Bitcoin Trust, had a nice little correction. This, you know, became an ETF here in the last few weeks following the SEC decision, though you can look to the BlackRock version of it. We sort of biased to this one. So that was up again. So it looks like Bitcoin is upticking after having a correction from roughly 49,000 down to about 40,000. Now it's coming back up again. So that's, like I say, there's always something going on. And I have a more bearish opinion on the markets here. I just think we're in a cyclical time frame where you got to be a little careful. But that's just a short-term comment.
What's going on with uranium?
You know, it's extended. It's had a big move. The classic name or the premier name is Cameco. And, you know, pulled off. It was off about 3 points today. I mean, this darn thing has run from the teens to over $50. And it's, you know, a bit extended. So it's like anything else. You got to decide when you want to take money off the table. So philosophically, I like uranium and have for a while, but the stock's getting a little toppy here. Uranium had a big move over $100 after being down in the mid-teens to 20s. And I, you know, like it philosophically, but it's definitely a little overbought here. So I'd be careful. I'd be looking for, if you're not in it, for a little bit more of a retracement or pullback here. But I think the big picture is positive for all the reasons that we could talk about. But again, this thing has moved up quite a bit. So it's not on my number one buy list here. If it dropped another 5 to 10 points, I might have more interest in. And again, I'm using CCJ, Cameco, as sort of my surrogate for making the decision. So, but if you look at the chart of uranium, it's almost been straight up. You know, it's been almost like parabolic here in the last few months. So it's due for a bit of a correction, just looking at that pattern.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, is there any action in gold?
Doesn't seem to be much at the moment, but I'm keeping core positions because it's clear to me that despite the government manipulation or suppression of the gold market, which has gone on for decades, world governments, central banks, smart money is out there, you know, accumulating the physical. And if you want physical, you got to pay up for it. And, this is a bit of a spread issue when you're trying to get physical gold. You usually have to pay 5 or 10% on either side when you buy and sell. But the charts say, in priced in U.S. dollars, I think I mentioned this on a previous interview, you know, move under 2000 in the 1950 to 1990 range, high 1900s, you know, sort of look like where it was heading. A lot is contingent on the U.S. dollar, which, obviously has an impact inversely. Most markets, most times it does. It was up, the U.S. dollar was up today, and that put a little pressure on gold. But I have a target of, I came up with this big target of about $2,700. And I think it's coming in the next couple of years, whether it's related to a BRICS event or actions on the part of Putin or Xi in China regarding, putting pressure on creating another currency or the BRICS creating a currency backed by gold. And I just see the state of the world as a bit more negative than you hear on the, in the financial broadcasts that are really sent to us constantly. It's, focus only on the Federal Reserve and interest rates and so forth, but not taking into consideration, what's going on the planet in terms of the wars that are underway and all kinds of outlier activities that could suddenly, come upon us. So, there are offsets. You got a U.S. election, but even so, if there was an attack somewhere, we have our fleet and our ships out there in the Red Sea and in the Mediterranean, and, God forbid there's another Pearl Harbor type of event where one of our ships is sunk or something dramatic happens. I mean, things could change really fast, both for the markets, and for gold and so forth. So I'm keeping the gold position. I just think it's a good hedge. And even, Donald Trump came out the other day, or was it yesterday, some comment that he's against the digital currency that's being proposed. He said that would be bad for the country and bad for the economy. And it was interesting that he came out with that comment. And I share that view. I know there's a push for that. It involves more control and supervision of our lives. And, I think having that gold position is not a bad idea. The physical gold is a hedge just in case suddenly the powers that be decide that your bank account doesn't belong to you anymore and now it's a digital currency versus a real cash money. So we're keeping that position. I think over the next couple of years you'll see gold break easily through this 2150 high we saw a couple months back and accelerate a bit to the upside. But I'm still also fearful of the government intervention on the U.S. side, and they've been doing this for decades using the COMEX and the futures market to suppress prices, and there's a lot of documentation on this, including, court actions and so forth, which is just more detail than we have time to get into in this interview. But despite that, I think the fact the world, that beating, Russia, China, and others are so pro the physical current physical metal versus the currencies, which are so unstable and so manipulated, that it's a good place to be. So, I like to trade it when I can, Jim. If there's an opportunity to trade you know, the ETFs or some individual stocks. And if in our newsletter, we have all those presented.
Is crude oil going to pick up?
It is already. It's starting to uptick here the last few days. A couple of my favorites, Occidental Petroleum, are upticking, and Pioneer Oil and Natural Gas, which is supposedly going to be acquired by Exxon, is upticking here a little bit. I'm a bull here, at least short term. They look oversold to me, and they seem to be uptaking here, and also on a cycle analysis or in a positive time frame. So, we like crude oil here.
Taiwan Semiconductor, is that the hottest thing going right now?
It is. It's up there. Like I say, it had a nice move here today. Let's see. I was just quoting it a few seconds ago before we went on the air. It was up, let's see here, it was up about $9 today to $134 a share. I mean, not too many weeks ago, it was in the mid-80s, and suddenly took off. I mean, to me, it was an obvious buy. Not only, I guess I'm a bit prejudiced because I can drive 20 minutes and see the new plant under construction here, but, from what I understand is they're the biggest supplier of semiconductors in the world, and the world needs it. And there's all this discussion that if Taiwan shut down, there was a war over there. I mean, world economies could drop 20-30%. There were some crazy number because of the demand and need for these auto productions. All kinds of industry would come to a halt without them. So this is definitely something you want to be in, whether there's a Taiwan event or not. It just seems like there's world demand for it. And I think obviously the company realized that, and they're expanding their facilities. So I guess they're assuming that one day they won't be able to produce in Taiwan, and they're doing it here.
In Canada, Bell Communications announced that it was cutting 9% of its workforce, thousands of people, and they're a major broadcaster. And they're shutting down several radio stations again. They went through a wave of layoffs a year ago. They're doing the same thing. And yet the company makes a lot of money. Is doing news now not a done deal? It used to be considered a community service. Now, if it doesn't make money, you shut it down.
So we're referring to the communication portion of the company?
Yeah.
What you're referring?
Right. Well, they also are cutting back on their programming at Bloomberg Television because they partner up with Bloomberg.
Well, I really have no insight into what they're doing other than what you've described. I know some broadcasting networks, you know, have seen various shifts in their demand in advertising. CNN here in the States, for example, had from what I read, had significant cutbacks in advertising due to their declining viewership. And even Fox News, which is one of the big conservative channels here, also saw a decline in recent months. It's a tough call. Most of the news that I get in discussion, unfortunately or fortunately, is related to, you know, ESPN and sports, type of viewership and the ratings and demand for that. It seems like the hell with what's going on in the world. I want my sports channel, you know. So if you're offering sports or gaming related to sports, you're in the right market. That's the best reading I have on the whole broadcasting scenario right now. I think that's where the money is. That's where the action is. And, the alternate sources for entertainment like Netflix and so forth out there have captured the audience demand, as has Disney, by the way, too, because they're trying to expand themselves more into the digital remote access of their movies and products. So that's it. You just got to go sector by sector there and see which one you're interested in. But that's the best response I can give you.
Well, gambling's so big, FanDuel has their own network now.
I know, and now we've got the Super Bowl coming up in Las Vegas short term, and all the gaming stocks and broadcast around that event are just taking off here. So a lot of places to play, Jim. You know, you could be in the stock market, or you can be in the gaming world. A lot of action, and if you have some skill in both, that's where you should be focusing.
Well, one of the bets you can do is what color of outfit will Taylor Swift be wearing at the game? And I went, well, she should go down and bet $1 million on whatever color she's going to wear.
Well, she's going to be there, and I'm telling you, talk about entertainment. Mm. I mean, from everywhere you read and hear, I mean, she's like the leader in the entertainment world in terms of revenue and in terms of exposure and interest. It's really amazing. Honestly, I'm just not with it. I mean, she wasn't even a name that I was familiar with at all. It's not my age group, or it's not my music. So, but in the last year or so, you've been reading and hearing about her daily, and she's doing whatever she's doing. I've never been to one of her concerts, but she's cleaned up. Apparently, she's a billionaire or right. Something like that.
Yes, she became a billionaire. What I liked about her the most is that she gave $100,000 bonuses to the truck drivers in her tour, and other major bonuses as well.
Well, that's tremendous reason to respect her, and I have high regards for her for having done that. Yeah, she seems to be a down-to-earth person in what I've seen, and she attends the football games, like she will be at the Super Bowl game, for example, I read. So an interesting person, you know, someone you'd love to get to know or meet at some point. She's something else.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Well, I'm just, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you know, I'm nervous this time of year for the markets. You know, we've had some pretty explosive moves. It seems like, you know, Meta, the old Facebook exploded on news, and the NVIDIA is well over $700 a share, and Microsoft is up there, and all the press, if you watch the financial press all day, oh, we're at S&P 5000, and they're having orgasms over that. And this is a good time to consider that maybe we're overdone here. I'm not saying big picture, but cyclically, the February-March period can be treacherous. We've seen big lows in the March time frame, whether repeat this year, you just never know. But that's sort of what my cyclical work is saying. So, I wouldn't be rushing into the markets with the S&P at 5,000 or these stocks as high as they are. I would wait for some type of an expected sell-off here. And it could go beyond March. And obviously, if there's some outlier event, whether it's military or otherwise, that could help precipitate it. So bottom line is I'd be a little careful here. Watch the markets next several weeks rather than do anything, on the long side.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletter, is also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.